This is the Superhuman Channel, doing reps with the weight of the world. The following paid program does not necessarily reflect the views or opinions of the staff and management of Tri-Scepter Productions or the Superhuman Channel. Tri-Scepter Productions and the Superhuman Channel are not responsible for any claims, warranties, or guarantees made during this program.
Prepare to experience the strongest radio allowable by law. Secrets will be revealed. Myths dispelled.
From the studio gym where excuses never apply.
It's Superhuman Radio with your host, Carl Lenore.
Hey, welcome back to another week here in the studio of the Superhuman Nation. I'm Carl Lenore. We have a great show planned for you today. During the first hour, we'll be talking with Dr. William Thornton about a recent study that's probably going to be spun in the media as being positive. But when you dig down into the details, you find out that it's very, very negative about the effects of the seasonal flu vaccine. And we're also going to talk about why this study is so important in the way it was structured. Then during the second hour, we're going to be joined by Dr. Martha Herbert from Harvard Medical School to talk about how EMF and RF may be perpetuating or affecting the development of autism in children. Very, very interesting discussion, something that we started talking about here on this show many years ago, and we will continue the discussion. Welcome to the show, Dr. William Thornton. How are you?
Super. Thank you so much, Carl. Good to be with you.
Yes, yes. And so I'm right about how the mainstream media is probably going to spin this study that was published. I want to say it was published in the Journal of Clinical
Infectious
Diseases. Thank you very much for saving me there. Yeah. And so this is a well peer reviewed journal, and so this study has some real merit. Before we talk about the results of the study, I want to talk about why this particular study may actually outweigh some of the importance of studies done with pro-vaccine propaganda, because this was the first study to actually use a placebo that was nothing more than saline, as opposed to what they normally do in these traditional vaccine studies is they still use a vaccine, right? But it's just not the same vaccine that they're testing for.
Correct.
So this
what happens is that,
Go ahead. You finish it. Go ahead.
Essentially, what they do is they take a vaccine and they test it against another vaccine, not the exact same one, of course. And when they get their results, they don't really have a division between benefit and harm, because they're actually testing it against something which will have a similar outcome to their vaccine. So there really is no value to the study whatsoever, yet they do this all the time.
Well, and now let's expand on this for a second. So now think about this. In the world of peer-reviewed research, when you're doing double-blind placebo studies, the placebo is generally something that is well-known not to have any effect. If it's pill form, it could be flour or sugar. If it's something that's infused into the body, it's generally saline, because this is something that has no effect on the body whatsoever. But yet the companies that manufacture vaccines choose to use other vaccines as their placebos. And when we talk about vaccines, it's not just the virus they weaken these viruses, attenuated viruses.
Attenuating the virus.
Yeah, but it's the adjuvants and these immune function agents that are being used in both cases, which we know those alone have terrible effects on the body. So it's almost like the vaccine companies want to mask the dangers in vaccines by comparing them to other vaccines. This is not done anywhere else in science, is it, Dr. Thornton?
To my knowledge, it isn't. It's a very, very deceptive way of doing a test. And they, of course, manipulate the outcome when they say that their vaccine has about the same profile as a placebo, when the placebo itself is a vaccine as well.
Exactly.
Very, very, very deceptive.
Yes. So in this particular study, which was done on humans. They were followed for, I want to say, almost a year, like 272 days. And they included children from 6 to 15 years old, which was really novel. They actually either gave these individuals the FluVax brand of trivalent seasonal flu vaccine, or saline. This is the first time it's been done this way, and that's why this is such an important study.
I have to agree with you. This came out, actually, about 2012. This particular study was done in Hong Kong. It was actually done about a year ago, but only now are we getting this information. It's not unusual for these studies to be kind of shelved for a while, at least not get out into the public eye until several months later. So that's why we're looking at this now. I'm kind of shocked by it myself. It just came across my desk recently, and as a result, I brought it to your attention because this, again, is the first time they've actually done something where we can kind of, you know, grab onto it and say, aha, we can now, you know, show that the emperor has no clothes, because essentially what this study showed, and I don't think it was their intention, was that the flu vaccine has no benefit whatsoever on the one hand, and that causes harm on the other.
So let's talk about this for a second, and I want to get deeper into it when we come out of the first break. The number of people that did not develop the seasonal flu is the only line in this particular study that the authors are focused on, which is very deceptive in and of itself. Compared to, and I don't have the numbers in front of me, but I want to say it was those who received the trivalent vaccine, 58 cases of seasonal influenza broke out compared to like 88 in the placebo group. And that is the only line that they're focusing on in this study. Am I right about that?
That's correct. Those numbers are correct. 58 in the vaccinated, 88 in the placebo.
The numbers that they're not even mentioning are shocking. And we're going to talk about these numbers when we come back for the break. But the numbers that they're not even mentioning are shocking. And I have to say, Dr. Thornton, as a physician yourself, do you not feel that these individuals who are promoting this study as proving that the flu vaccine is beneficial, are they not derelict of their first duty to do no harm?
I think that it goes without saying, Carl, but I'm glad we did say it, because we seem to have forgotten this one particular precept or this principle of medicine is first do no harm. And in fact, I think the history of vaccines, which we can talk about a little bit later on if you like, is rife with this dereliction of duty, if you want to call it that, because from the very beginning, vaccines have done harm, and it's only through the nature of how we've manipulated the information over the years from the 1700s to today that we have this idea, this concept, this paradigm that vaccines are safe and effective, and they are not. And I'll go into some of that terminology as well.
Yeah, and this is an important discussion, because the mainstream media and the medical orthodoxy is pushing flu vaccines at every opportunity, from grocery store, little clinics now that exist, to the drug stores, to your kid's school. Everywhere you go, someone is offering a flu vaccine for $25. Get it now, and so on. We've already seen this play out year after year. Last year, I believe by the CDC's own statistics, the number of doses of flu vaccine were actually up by some significant amount, as were the cases of the flu. This does not make sense to me. If more people are getting the vaccine, then how could more people be getting the flu? And if when you apply critical thinking skills, you have to say, wait a minute, something's wrong here.
Well, of course, also, you want to ask the question, you know, why are people getting the flu if they're getting the flu shot? Why do they have to make this mandatory for, like, hospital workers if it's such a good thing? We'd all want to be, we'd all be clamoring for the flu shot.
Right.
If, in fact, it worked, when it does not.
Well, and that's a really, really good point. And the reality is that a lot of people who are listening to this show have probably had this experience. They've gotten the flu vaccine, and then within 3, 4, 5 days, they have gotten something akin to the flu. They've gotten sick where they were in bed for a couple days. They didn't feel well. And while they didn't go to the doctor and get registered on the CDC's tally of diagnosed flu episodes, they nonetheless got sick. And this is an interesting fact. The CDC.
Well, you know,
I
was going to say, it's kind of funny you brought that up, because what came to mind when you were talking about that was the image of Piers Morgan on CNN getting an injection of a flu vaccine from Dr. Oz on live television. And then subsequent to that, within a couple of days, he got very, very sick.
Really?
And it was almost comical, with all due respect to Mr. Piers Morgan.
Yeah, no, I feel bad for the guy that he fell prey to this nonsense. But interestingly enough, Dr. Oz's wife will not get vaccinated and does not allow her children to be vaccinated. But yet Dr. Oz did get vaccinated on TV, which shows that he's a complete and utter sellout. But
something else was in that vial. I'm not sure what the
vaccine. I've heard that. I've heard it's been saline. But who knows, right? Yeah. But interestingly enough, that when you think about this, when you think about how so many people get sick after getting the flu vaccine, it makes one wonder why the rush to promote the vaccines. But what we're going to talk about when we come back from the break is even more startling. This study actually puts its finger on something that no one is talking about. We're talking with Dr. William Thornton. We're talking about a study that was just released that shows that getting the flu vaccine will make you 5 times more susceptible to getting sick. This may be at the root of why the CDC does not cover the number of people who have gotten the flu vaccine who have gotten sick afterwards, interestingly enough. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
He's your personal watchdog.
Is anyone awake up at Capitol Hill?
Sniffing out the corruption in our healthcare policies.
You are literally selling the population of this wonderful country to a death sentence.
He's Carl Lenore.
What's wrong with you people?
On the Superhuman Radio Network.
Are you still putting toxic toothpastes in your mouth? Still brushing with sodium lauryl sulfate, which is related to canker sores and gum recession? You've heard a lot of people in the Superhuman Nation talk about how much they love Aura MD. Carl and Elisa won't brush with anything else. Now get a free bottle of Aura MD and see what all the excitement's about. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Aura MD banner ad today. You cover shipping and we'll give you a free bottle for first-time customers only. What are you waiting for? The best toothpaste alternative is just a click away.
You already know that Whey Natural USA is the best whey protein powder from Amish grass pasture fed cows right here in the United States. Well, it's their second anniversary bonanza sale. Now you can get any number of 5-pound jugs of vanilla, chocolate, strawberry, or plain and save 20% when you use the coupon code ANNIV20. There's never anything artificial in Whey Natural USA. Sweetened with stevia and real cocoa, strawberry, or vanilla bean. It's the best, period. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Whey Natural USA banner ad today.
AnabolicMinds.com is the premier website for credible information on building muscle, burning fat, supplementation, and more. With over 100,000 active registered members and over 2.5 million posts, it's one of the largest communities on the internet to get help and answers to your questions. It's also the place that the official Superhuman Radio Forum is hosted. Visit AnabolicMinds.com today and get into the action. AnabolicMinds.com. Learn, teach, lead.
Extreme Formulations is the only company with a dairy protein product with a disclosed 50% whey to 50% micellar casein ratio. It's Ultra Peptide 2.0. It comes in 9 amazing flavors, including the newest lemon pie and butterscotch. Get free shipping on any order size inside the USA. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Ultra Peptide 2.0 banner ad now. Canadian listeners can also get free shipping on 2 or more jugs of Ultra Peptide 2.0. Don't wait too long, because this special won't last. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the banner ad today.
If you're taking more than one nutritional supplement, stop. Simplify your supplementation with Bio Superfood, the most advanced nutritional whole food you can buy. Even Olympic athletes have discovered Bio Superfood from BioAge.com. You take just one nutritional supplement to help the brain with focus, memory, clarity, and mood. Bio Superfood has zero toxicity. It is safe with no contraindications. Learn more at BioAge.com or call 877-288-9116. Mention Superhuman Radio and get a 10% discount. You can also go to superhumanradio.com and click the BioAge banner ad. Enter promo code SHR for a discount.
A special offer from Rob Regish for Blueprint Power Hour listeners. Purchase 1 year of the Blueprint Bulletin and get the Blueprint 3.0 ebook for free. The first 100 subscribers will receive the Superhuman University Add 1 Inch to Your Upper Arms course and another surprise bonus when you order. Go to the BlueprintBulletin.com today or click the Blueprint banner ad on SuperhumanRadio.com and get on the road to Gainesville in the fast lane.
Jumping higher, lifting more. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. We're talking with Dr. William Thornton. We're talking about some research that has been published and brought to the forefront that really needs, your attention. The reason it needs your attention is because you're being bombarded on every side today to get a flu vaccine. You're being told that it's in your best interest. And the worst of what we're going to talk about is that the information that we're talking about right now is not going to be given to the elderly or the very young, which those seem to be the ones that are pushed upon the most because they appear to be at the greatest risk because of frailty of immune system and frailty of physical function. But they are the ones that are going to be the most hindered by this information. Okay, so Dr. Thornton, the study does not promote, or let's say the authors do not openly promote some other statistics that were learned in the study. For instance, of those who received the actual flu vaccine versus the saline, how many of which group developed swine flu?
Well, interestingly enough, so that's I have those figures in front of me right now, Carl. The vaccinated group, 58 of those persons developed swine flu. In the placebo or saline group, zero. So
okay.
That tells me something about the actual vaccine itself.
Okay, so does that mean that in that vaccine there was probably an attenuated form of the H1N1 virus?
That would be my guess as well, and it's not the first time we've had this kind of contamination, if you will, of a vaccine with something other than what was supposed to be in there.
You know, I gotta say something, Dr. Thornton. I'm sorry.
Go right ahead.
I don't know. Is anyone else in this audience as upset right now about this? I mean, we talk about informed consent, but informed consent depends on honesty and transparency. And there is nothing honest or transparent about what these companies are doing when they manufacture these vaccines. How the hell does a trivalent seasonal flu strain, one of three, predict? Don't forget, they try to predict it. If they could predict that, they probably could pick the Powerball too. But not let's forget that. How could this trivalent seasonal flu vaccine have the H1N1 attenuated virus in it? Why are people being told this? Of course not.
Well, we know that Baxter Pharmaceuticals several years ago got caught putting the H1N1 into vaccines, which were shipped over to Europe. This came out in the news. It was quite a scandal because if that had been allowed to go out into the public, it would have caused a pandemic. It only happened to be found by the researchers in Europe. We're doing testing on the vaccine to check out its contents.
Oh, my God.
And so as a result, it was not distributed to the general public. But, of course, Baxter was saying, oh, it was just an accident in their laboratories. Well, anybody who knows about laboratories that produce vaccines understand that it's a very sequestered kind of a process where different things are not mixed together in the same laboratory. They're separated by glass and walls. So that an accident of this nature to occur would actually be impossible. So the only thing we're left with is somebody put that in there on purpose.
Now, I remember reading during the H1N1 pandemic that never happened, and that's why all these countries are trying to sell their flu, their H1N1 vaccines back to the manufacturers. If everybody, see, we forget too soon about what really happened. You know, the World Health Organization said millions are going to die, not even thousands died. And so all these countries bought all these H1N1 vaccines that they ended up expiring. And so the manufacturers came in and waved the magic wand over them and just changed the expiration dates. And so it saved them millions and millions of dollars on inventory, which that's another, I mean, that's just nonsense. but okay. So I remember them saying back then that they were going to consider adding the H1N1 vaccine to the seasonal flu vaccine, because that would protect more people that way. So it seems to me like they've done it, but they didn't tell anybody.
Well, the thing about it, Carl, is that there's a minor terminology difference in what they were saying they were going to do and what they did, because they were going to say that they were going to add the vaccine to another vaccine. But what they actually did was they added a live avian flu virus to the vaccine. So they were going to give you the disease in the process of giving you a so-called vaccine.
Okay. Now, if you're not already outraged about this, okay, those of you who have gotten flu vaccines this year, I feel bad for you. I do. I'm sorry. And you're probably going to think I'm a jerk for saying this, but I haven't had a flu vaccine in I don't know how long, and I will never get one. And I'll take the flu before I'll take the flu vaccine. But okay, if you think this part is shocking, wait until you hear the rest of it. Okay, so let's go down. I want to say it's called rhinovirus, which is a very, very common form of virus that people get during these cold months. How many people in the actual vaccinated group versus the placebo group got rhinovirus during the study period of 272 days?
Well, the vaccine folks got about 230 of those folks got the actual cold virus from the vaccine, whereas the placebo group got 59 folks got it. So a huge number of people getting the vaccine also got the rhinovirus, which is the common cold virus.
Now, okay, so those of you out there say, well, wait a minute, you're not going to tell me they're putting the rhinovirus in there. No, I don't think so. What scientists have known about for about 60 years now is that when you tweak the immune system to prepare it for one particular assault or even two or three particular assaults, think about this. You've got an army of 100 people. And you get intelligence that says the enemy is coming on the west side. So you move everybody from the north, east, and south over to the west side. And then the enemy fools you and they come to the south where you're not prepared. This is what happens to the immune system when you tamper with it like this. They've known about this for 60 years. They know that giving people vaccines, which may have some amount of protection in this very narrow area, opens them up to being assaulted by other viruses that normally wouldn't have taken them down. Is that not true, Dr. Thornton?
That's exactly right. In fact, we learned this in naturopathic college, and it's one of those concepts which I don't think has gotten through to conventional medicine, at least from the point of view to the public, because they have known about this, as you said, for about 60 years. And if we continue on with this progression here, besides the rhinovirus, the cold virus, what also happened was the folks who got the flu vaccine were also susceptible to what's called the Coxsackie virus and the echovirus, both of which are respiratory diseases as well, but they also have implications in such things as heart attacks, hepatitis, paralysis, and meningitis.
Especially in the elderly, who they're telling they need the flu vaccine more than anything, right?
That's correct, and it's kind of a little bit sinister when I hear that kind of information, because I'm wondering why are they pushing this so hard on the very young and the very old. Now, I'm hoping it's just because of some misplaced belief that it's going to help them. But at the same time, given all that we've talked about already, I'm a little suspicious that there's something else going on here, a different agenda.
Now, this is not a conspiracy theory show. I am not David Icke or Icke, whatever his name is. We are talking about a research study that has been published that is designed to show the benefits of the trivalent flu vax, was the one that the trivalent seasonal flu vaccine. This information we're talking about now has not been brought forth in the media, and the authors don't want to talk about this. How many people got the Coxsackie echovirus out of the inoculated group versus the saline group?
This is staggering. 160 people who got the vaccine wound up with the Coxsackie virus and echovirus versus zero in the saline group.
Zero. And you know why it's zero in this case? It's because their immune systems were more well-rounded and prepared for a lot of things, especially these weaker assaults that normally don't bother people. Zero.
Well, zero. And also,
I mean, I would say that is statistically significant. You would think that that would be the headline of the study.
You would think so. But, of course, even the researchers were stunned by this, and they kind of spun it a little bit by saying the recipients of the vaccine may lack temporary non-specific immunity that protected against other respiratory viruses. In other words, yeah, we gave them this vaccine, and by the way, their immune system took a crash.
But it was just temporary.
Plain language.
And how do we know it's temporary? If we test these people further out, how do we know that this isn't sustained?
Very true, very true.
Okay, what other illnesses were developed to a greater extent in the vaccinated group versus the saline group?
Those are the main ones they talked about, and they also did talk about how, at least the people that looked at this particular study in an objective form, were saying that the act of injecting the antigens, which is the flu virus itself, damages the innate cell-mediated immune system. In other words, your natural immunity was damaged, and as you suggest, it might be more than just temporary, that protects you without having to resort to the use of antibodies from a flu virus vaccine. So in other words, your actual natural immunity becomes less prominent, less capable of defending you when you take an artificial flu vaccine to help you with the flu.
I got to ask you something, Dr. Thornton. Do you ever get angry about this kind of stuff? Do you ever like seethe and feel like, my God, you know, what is next?
Well, to tell you the truth, Carl, it's been a problem for me for over 30 years, 35 years I've been a chiropractor, now a naturopath, is that I've been studying this material for that long and then some. And over time, it begins to be a little bit kind of like overwhelming because it defies rational thinking. You want to think the best about people who are involved in the medical profession, and I'm sure the majority of them are well-intentioned. But sometimes, you know, the good intentions, you know, paving the road to hell kind of an expression is that a lot of these folks who are in the business of giving out these vaccines have no idea how damaging they are. And we're including this in, the pharmacists who are now giving out vaccines, which is ridiculous because as trained as they are in pharmacology, the vaccines being given out by pharmacists, they'd have no way of handling any acute reactions in a pharmacy. I mean, if somebody goes into anaphylactic shock after getting a vaccine, which can happen and has happened, the person's throat starts to swell up, they're not going to be prepared to provide emergency care. So these are the worst places to get your flu vaccine if you're going to have that particular decision to make, is in a pharmacy or in a high school gym or whatever they're doing in these vaccines.
Oh, man, this is unbelievable. We have to take a commercial break. And when we come back, we're going to hit this from a different angle as well. We're talking with Dr. William Thornton, and we're talking about a recent study that has been published. But the actual meat of the study, as is always the case, when you dig down deeper and find out what the study really provided, it provided, in short, that individuals who received the seasonal flu vaccine developed 5 times more illness than those who received a saline placebo. Now think about that for a second. Think about the odds of going and getting a flu vaccine and getting sick, that you have 5 times greater risk of getting sick than not doing anything at all. Think about that next time you drive past Walgreens and they want to sell you a flu vaccine for $25. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
He's keeping tabs on government health agencies.
It's called the Environmental Protection Agency.
Carl Lenore.
Where is the protection?
Superhuman Radio.
If you want to outlast, outmuscle, and outperform your competition with a high-powered, stimulant-free carbohydrate source that has zero sugars, you want Carbolin. Carbolin is the original high-performance fuel that will allow you to load your muscles with glycogen in minutes instead of hours. As a pre, intra, and post-training supplement, it will give you a hardness and fullness to your muscles like you've never felt before. As an endurance supplement, Carbolin has been proven to increase VO2 max by 2.8%. If you want fast absorption and sustained energy without bloating or cramping, get Carbolin. Go to AAEFX.com today.
Are you still putting toxic toothpastes in your mouth? Still brushing with sodium lauryl sulfate, which is related to canker sores and gum recession? You've heard a lot of people in the Superhuman Nation talk about how much they love Aura MD. Carl and Elisa won't brush with anything else. Now get a free bottle of Aura MD and see what all the excitement's about. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Aura MD banner ad today. You cover shipping and we'll give you a free bottle for first-time customers only. What are you waiting for? The best toothpaste alternative is just a click away.
Just like Carl Lenore, jumpstart your day with a liquid shot of high-dose vitamin C. Everyone is searching for that magic formula to look better and feel better. We don't claim to have a magic formula, but we do know that more than 1 million people take a shot of our high-dose vitamin C supplement every day. They're rewarding their body with an important nutrient and antioxidant that is sugar-free, gluten-free, and dairy-free. All of these benefits and no side effects. Unlike pills and powders, this high-tech bullet delivers vitamin C directly into your cells. Try Live-On Labs Vitamin C with a 100% money-back guarantee. Save $10 when you order now. click the banner ad on superhumanradio.com or call 1-866-790-2107. That's 1-866-790-2107. And mention code SHRC to save $10 off each carton. Carl sees the benefits. So will you.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing. My near vision has improved, and I can read small print from 8 inches. My overall vision is clearer, and the glare from oncoming headlights doesn't bother me any longer. Just 1 to 2 drops a day, and the results are visible. You can find CanSee eye drops at wisechoicemedicine.net or call 800-861-4936. That's 800-861-4936. Wise Choice Medicine. Medicine.net. CanSee eye drops. The name says it all.
Summer's almost here. Are you ready to put on your bathing suit and hit the beach? Age Force can help. Try the Age Force Fat Burner Patch for 1 month absolutely free. The Advanced 7 Keto and T2 formula with sustained time release delivery make this the most potent and effective fat loss supplement, period. Try it for 30 days absolutely free and see for yourself. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Age Force banner ad today. What do you have to lose other than body fat? Try the Age Force Fat Burner Patch today. Absolutely free. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the banner ad now.
Your radio just got ripped. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back. Later in the show, Dr. Martha Herbert from Harvard Medical School is going to come on and talk about the effects of RF and EMF on autism and autism spectrum disorders. We started talking about this years ago on this show, and now we have some other people who are bringing this this discussion to the forefront. Right now we're talking about vaccines, seasonal flu vaccines, and how they actually affect you. And I want to read something real quick, Dr. Thornton, if I can get it up here. I don't think my computer is going to work. Well, you may have these numbers in front of you. There were some other associated upper respiratory problems experienced by these individuals to the tune of, I want to say, like 130 or so cases. Here it is. I'm sorry. This is why this is so sinister, in my opinion, right? So the authors of this study, they point to one line item only. Seasonal influenza. Vaccinated group 58, placebo group 88. They throw their hands up. They go, we won. But when you fold in those who got H1N1 58 and zero in the placebo, it's actually 116 people in the vaccinated group got the flu of some sort and 88 in the placebo group. So the reality is they lost. But when you fold these numbers in, 230 who got rhinovirus, 160 who got Coxsackie echovirus, and 97 who got other respiratory viruses not listed, 487 people got some form of respiratory virus, flu or H1N1, versus 88 in the other group. This is shocking to me. No one's talking about this.
That's true. I mean, there's a kind of a blackout of sorts on the media on this, and I don't know if that's a planned agenda on people's part, but it's almost like only the bad news gets brought up on TV with regard to the anti-vaccine folks, because they're the ones that are the demons. And for those of you who need to have the reference on this study, it's the Clinical Infectious Diseases Journal. It's volume 54, issue number 12, and it was originally published in 2012, just in case you want to look it up on the web.
And now let's go back to those elderly people who are the ones who give in to – they're so afraid. Look, let's face it. If I'm 80 years old and I'm hanging on and I want to live another 10 years and they tell me, hey, if you get the flu, you're going to die. You're not strong enough to resist the flu. You better go get the vaccine. And then the vaccine gets me sick and I die. And you know what? When you go to the hospital, they're not going to say you died from the vaccine. They're going to say you got some respiratory infection and your heart was too weak, and the doctor is going to write on your death certificate heart failure.
That's a little too convenient for my take on this, to be honest, Carl. I just can't believe that folks who are involved in this kind of medicine don't know that they're doing this. I'm not talking about the doctors and nurses and technicians. I'm talking about the people who make these vaccines. they've known, as you said before, for 60 years, giving a vaccine will cause the immune system to crash, to be diverted toward this vaccine substance. Now, there's this terminology in vaccine science, if you want to call it a science, called vaccine safety and effectiveness. They're always telling you how these vaccines are safe and effective, and yet they've never been tested as far as vaccinated versus unvaccinated until this particular study.
You know, this is interesting, too, that you bring this up, because seasonal flu vaccines and or any other type of vaccines, when they do these types of studies on rats, number one, they don't use a placebo. They use another form of vaccine. And that's why the safety profile is the same as the placebo, which is nonsense. It's like saying we're going to do a study on cigarette smoking, but we're going to use Marlboro as the test group, and we're going to use Chesterfields as the placebo. Hey, guess what? The test group developed cancer at the same rate as the placebo group. No, it doesn't work that way. But
that's a perfect analogy. Perfect analogy.
Yeah, but you know what's really frustrating about this? Why haven't they done the studies where they've gotten a couple groups of rats? They've given one group a vaccine, another group a saline placebo, and then exposed all of them to the flu so that they could say, wow, look at this. It really worked. Fewer of the rats who got the vaccine developed the flu than the ones who didn't get the vaccine. That's the question.
That would probably destroy their entire paradigm, their entire mirage on the safety of vaccines. It's a $16 billion a year business, not quite as big as the overall pharmaceutical business, but according to Dr. Sherry Tenpenny, who's a physician who studied
she's been a guest on my show numerous times. Yeah,
it's great, Al. She's very, very informed on this. She says that, like when you go to Las Vegas, they give you the hotel room at a discounted rate because they know you're going to spend money at the tables.
Right.
Well, her opinion is that vaccines are kind of like the offer from the folks in the hotels in Las Vegas. It's kind of like the entry into the medical system. Once they get you to be vaccinated, and this sounds very sinister, then you are going to be damaged in some fashion. You may not be killed right away, of course. You get a disease or something that's going to be long-term. Then you're put into the medical system, which they know you're going to be spending more money on as you progress in your life. So they give these kids these vaccines with all good intentions on most people's part, but the profession that does this knows that these kids are going to be getting sick as they go into adulthood and become part of the medical establishment.
Well, I tend to be less cynical. I think this is the paradigm. I think vaccines are like insurance, right? So you pay your insurance on your home never catches fire, the insurance did what it was supposed to do. If your home catches fire, you're prepared, but you protect against that. You have a vested interest in not having your home burned down and have to go to that insurance policy. And so I think vaccines work on the negative opt-out principle, which has been outlawed in direct mail media, by the way. Like, in other words, if I send you a postcard and you don't respond, then that means you want to buy the product. The way vaccines work, and the reason I think that it's such a boon of an industry, is you get a vaccine, you get sick. It wasn't the vaccine's fault. You were going to get sick anyway. You get a vaccine and you don't get sick. Oh, the vaccine worked. You don't get a vaccine and you don't get sick. It's of no conflict with their science. So they win either way. If you get a vaccine and you get sick, you don't say, oh, the vaccine made me sick. That's impossible. That can't be it. I was going to get sick anyway. And that is why they win. These vaccines are useless. And at $25 a pop, they're making bundles of money, and there's no repercussion. There's no direct challenge of their product's efficacy. And then you have organizations like the CDC making movies like Contagion to convince people that they're doing wonderful things for people by pursuing these vaccines, when in fact this study shows that you're going to get sick. If you get a vaccine, you're probably going to get something else.
Precisely. And I certainly agree with your analysis there, to be honest with you. But at the same time, after all these years, a little bit of something in the back of my mind says, wait a minute, these guys can't be that stupid just to be, you know, sending out these vaccines for the sake of just a few more bucks in their pocket, although that's certainly one of the motivations. I just have a kind of a gut feeling about this, and it's maybe not just my opinion, because I know Dr. Tenpenny agrees with me on this, or I agree with her, that there's a little bit more of a sinister agenda here, which I won't go into too much today because I know we're trying to keep this on a kind of an above board discussion about science. But there's another doctor, Dr. Rebecca Carley, who also has a radio show, drcarley.com, if you want to check her out. She's been doing studies on this as well. And back in the old days when people got vaccinations, they got a disease called subacute sclerosing panencephalitis, which is a long term for kind of an inflammation of the brain. And the way this was described in the literature back in the day sounds exactly like autism.
Really?
Now, that's been taken out of the medical literature to some degree, and it's only applied to measles nowadays. But her contention is that the vaccines themselves, not the mercury per se, is causing this autism epidemic, because these foreign proteins get into the brain and cause this inflammation and encephalitis, and that causes all of the usual spectrum of autism problems.
Well, Dr. Tenpenny talked about something similar on my show one time, and we talked about the fact that the rubella, diphtheria, mumps, measles, the shot that you get when you're a baby, there's some sort of gelatin in there. And
yes,
the gelatin has already been shown that when it is injected, not digested, but when it is injected, it causes massive inflammatory response by the little baby's body.
Exactly. Now, they don't talk about that much at all when they talk about autism these days, because they're focusing on mercury. Mercury is a neurotoxin. It's not a good thing to have in your body at all, let alone in a vaccine, which is directly injected into you. But it causes neurological problems of a kind which have to do with paralysis and tingling and that sort of thing. Whereas the autism is a kind of a brain dysfunction. It's social inability to exchange communications with another person, in a sense. So there is a definite problem with mercury, but I don't think it's the actual cause, maybe a contributing factor to autism, but I think it's the actual foreign proteins like the gelatin you talked about.
But you know what it is as far as I'm concerned? Okay, so this is my take on autism, right? Every child has an innate immune system that occurs in the womb, and as passage through the vaginal canal, they pick up the microbiota that starts to seed the lining of the stomach and intestines. And so every baby comes into the world with an immune system. That immune system could be fragile. That immune system can be robust. I think there are so many things between neurotoxins in our environment, the foods that the mother eats. What we're going to talk about here in a little while is exposure of the fetus to RF and EMF. You have a perfect storm. And so you have one child who has a robust immune system, and they can handle these multiple assaults from different angles and come through it and not develop autism. But you have another child whose immune system is a little tweaked, and they get hit with two or three these assaults that work from totally different pathways, and bang, they have a problem. And so the reason why we're never going to be able to say this is what it is because we have basically pooped on the planet, and we are seeing the effects of that. Autism is the canary in the mine. We have a very fragile child here that's saying, oh, my God, the environment has turned on us. We've embraced chemicals, fortunes in chemistry. We think that we can do better than nature can. We have formula instead of mother's milk. It's all backfiring, and that's what's going on. And that's why we're never going to find one thing that causes autism, because it's a plethora of things that are leading to autism.
I think you're right there, Carl. I certainly have to agree with that. But I think there's a little bit of diversion being done by the mainstream media away from the actual vaccines themselves into this mercury thing. And I think that's another issue we have to deal with in the future, where if they're just focusing on mercury, they're not talking about EMF or RF. They're not talking about the foreign proteins and all in the vaccines themselves, or all the other things that are assaulting us in the daily environment. So I have to agree with you. There's a whole bunch of stuff going on now. And autism has become such a generalized term that it's really hard to say if you've got two kids together that have autism, they might have totally different affectations, all of which involve some kind of a difficulty with socialization. But again, very, very different triggers, if you will, that cause these things.
Yeah. Let's do this. Let's take our last commercial break. When we come back, we'll wrap it up. We're talking with Dr. William Thornton. We're talking about this recent study that is promoting the seasonal flu vaccine as a win, when it's actually a loss, five times greater illness in individuals who get the vaccine than those who don't. You make your own decisions, but be informed. We'll be right back.
He's Carl Lenore.
The brainless people at the FDA need to be convinced that arsenic is not good for humans to consume. Because the FDA feels a little bit more research needs to be done before we're considered that this particular arsenic is dangerous.
Only on Superhuman Radio.
Summer's almost here. Are you ready to put on your bathing suit and hit the beach? Age Force can help. Try the Age Force Fat Burner Patch for 1 month absolutely free. The Advanced 7 Keto and T2 formula with sustained time release delivery make this the most potent and effective fat loss supplement, period. Try it for 30 days absolutely free and see for yourself. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Age Force banner ad today. What do you have to lose other than body fat? Try the Age Force Fat Burner Patch today. Absolutely free. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the banner ad now.
At Superior Hardcore Peptides, we pride ourselves on accurately dosed, high-quality peptides and research chemicals made in the USA. With all the options out there, we dedicated ourselves to providing the best service and the best products for your research. Click the banner ad on superhumanradio.com today and use the discount code SHR and get 20% off our already competitive prices. If you're going to do research, do it with the best Superior Hardcore Peptides.
Thousands of Superhuman Radio listeners already know how well GLC 2000 works at repairing joints and cartilage, and it's the best price on the market, milligram for milligram. Now GLC Direct is offering a special that my listeners can take advantage of. Buy one, get one free of any GLC 2000 product. That's right. Buy one of your favorite GLC 2000 products and get one free. Capsules or raw powder. Just mention Superhuman Radio and buy one, get one free today. Call 866-452-3473 or click the GLC banner ad on superhumanradio.com. Offer limited to one per household.
Get a free jug of BCAA Extended Performance. That's a $26 freebie when you buy Muscle Gauge Nutrition's Intense, the safest, most effective pre-workout alternative to DMAA. Intense is designed to quickly boost focused energy in a great-tasting formula free of aspartame or ACE-K. Only half the caffeine of top-selling concentrated pre-workout formulas on the market. Intense delivers unparalleled mental focus and energy to power your workouts. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Intense banner ad and use coupon code SUPER. That's S-U-P-E-R.
Eat dessert again with the new 100% natural line of high-protein, low-carb Quest protein bars. I love lemon cream pie and strawberry cheesecake, but you can choose from chocolate peanut butter, coconut cashew, or cinnamon roll as well. No matter which one you try, you'll feel like you're eating dessert. But this is no ordinary dessert. With 20 grams of high-quality whey protein isolate, 17 grams of prebiotic fiber, and sweetened with stevia, these bars will make you feel like you're cheating, but you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Quest protein bar banner ad to learn more about these clean and delicious protein bars.
Orbit Nutrition carries over 1,000 of the hottest nutritional supplements, performance enhancers, and nutraceuticals on the planet. And now, Superhuman Radio listeners get an additional 5% off their everyday low prices by using the coupon code SHR5. That's SHR and the number 5. Choose from products like Quest Protein Bars, iForce Nutrition, Iron Mag Labs, and more. Check out Orbit's daily deals for special insane blowout prices. Log on to the Orbit Nutrition Forum and get feedback about the products you're shopping for and get an additional 5% off using the coupon code SHR5. Orbit Nutrition. Fast, reliable, competitive, international. Why shop anywhere else?
Listen strong. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back. We're talking with Dr. William Thornton. We're talking about vaccines, the seasonal flu vaccine. Later in the show, Dr. Martha Herbert will come on, talk about some recent research done on electromagnetic fields and radio frequencies on the autism spectrum disorder and autism. So, Dr. Thornton, I know you want to talk about this notion of efficacy as it relates to vaccines. So give me an example of efficacy, effectiveness in other scientific areas where you agree. So can you do that first to kind of lay the groundwork? Sure. And we can compare vaccines to that?
When you talk about a drug or a protocol being effective, you have a disease, you do something to mitigate that disease, and the disease goes away or gets better or is cured. That's effective. Well, in the vaccine world, the world of vaccines, the term effective is actually kind of a little bit distorted, because When they give a vaccine to an individual, the effectiveness is measured by whether or not the body creates antibodies.
Right.
In other words, the reaction to the antigens. So that's their actual definition of effectiveness. It doesn't mean you've gotten rid of the disease or that you are now immune to the disease. It just means that your body created antibodies to the vaccine. Now that to me is a rather limited and I think deceptive way of, you know, getting this across to the public that a vaccine is effective.
Well, let me give an analogy, because I love analogies, if you haven't realized, Dr. Thornton. So I write a book on how to become successful. Everybody mm-hmm. equates success with the accumulation of wealth, right?
Mm-hmm.
But in my book, I say work lots of hours and log your hours. And at the end of the year, if you've worked 1 billion hours, you're successful. So that's not true, because I haven't defined how to accumulate money. What they're doing in the vaccine industry is then looking at wealth from the accumulation of hours and not dollars. They're saying, oh, we've increased these antibodies. You still may get the flu, but we increased the antibodies, so we're effective. Nonsense.
Well, that's outrageous, because we already know that there have been outbreaks of mumps and pertussis, for instance, and one in Iowa, one in California, where the people, let's say with the mumps in Iowa, 67% of the kids who contracted mumps were actually vaccinated and had high levels of these antibodies in their system, so it didn't protect them. In California, same thing. They had a rash of these outbreaks of pertussis. The kids who fell to this disease were actually vaccinated and also had high antibodies in their system. So
let me ask you a question from a clinical standpoint. When you are, let's say you and I were boxers, right? And mm-hmm. I was preparing for a fight and you were preparing for a fight. And the guy you were preparing to fight, you were training with a guy who's half his size, half his strength, and much slower. And I'm training with a guy who is exactly the model of the guy that I'm going to fight. When we step into the ring in our respective bouts, do you think you have a shot of winning if you've been training with a guy who's half the strength, half the speed, and half the size of the guy you're ultimately going to fight?
Not a chance.
Okay, so how does an attenuated virus prepare your body for the full onslaught of a virus?
In fact, that's a very good point, Carl, because none of the scientists who are, you know, talking about not being in favor of vaccines say that when you get a virus that's been attenuated, what your body does, it creates antibodies, yes. But antibodies to that particular virus, that
Bingo.
Particular phony virus that's in your system, not
that
to the
little,
viruses that are coming at you.
It prepares the body for that little fighter you've been training with, but then this mm-hmm. big 300-pound monster steps into the ring and knocks your block off.
That's right. Well, you know, it goes back to this whole thing about has the CDC ever done any real studies on this? Back in Congress, Congressman Bill Posey of Florida was actually in a meeting in Congress and asked Dr. Colleen Boyle, who of the CDC, he says, has the CDC done a study comparing vaccinated children with unvaccinated children? And Dr. Boyle said, we have never studied vaccinated versus unvaccinated. So how can you make a comparison and know this thing works in the first place? It goes back to our original point that these things have never been tested properly, which is it's a crime, in my opinion.
Shocking. And yet people line up and get vaccinated all day long. And, you know, We've heard some of the horror stories in the Philippines. Women were purposely vaccinated with something that would make them sterile in the lower economic, socioeconomic rungs in the Philippines. And the company that did the vaccines actually had to pay out quite a large award later on when they proved that these vaccines did in fact have some stealth ingredients that were not supposed to be in there. And sure, they said it was accidental, but I doubt mm-hmm. it. I doubt it.
Well, that was actually done here in the United States as well. It's the HCG, the human chorionic gonadotropin, which is the hormone of pregnancy that was put into these particular vaccines. So when women got this particular vaccine in the Philippines and in the United States, their bodies created antibodies to these antigens. The antigens are the actual flu stuff. The antibodies were created to the human chorionic gonadotropin, which means when these women became pregnant, the bodies attacked that hormone of pregnancy, and of course, they aborted the fetus.
Oh my God! Now, how does HCG, which correct me if I'm wrong, but it's a peptide. How does mm-hmm. HCG end up in a vaccine?
It has to be put there, particularly because it's not going to be accidentally put in there. They're not growing these vaccines on HCG rich mediums, so it's kind of like, you know, it begs the question, how did that get in there? Yes, well, it was put in there by somebody for some reason.
I mean, is anyone outraged by this? Why don't we hear people in Congress talking about this? You know, we want to go over and bomb Syria for hurting their people when vaccines hurt people right here, knowing that they're going to hurt people. Where's the outrage in Congress about that? I don't see this administration wanting to shut down these companies that make vaccines. In fact, they're giving them greater latitude and less liability in their vaccines, if anything. Right.
Well, let me tell you one last thought here before we leave the session here. The actual origin of vaccines, if your listeners want to get kind of like their jaw to drop even further, if they research this very carefully, Edward Jenner was attributed to the development of vaccines in the 1700s. Jenner was a farmer, no knock against farmers, but he had a mail order degree in medicine for $24 in today's money. And he developed this idea of taking cowpox from cows and injecting it into people. He'd injected a young man, 8 years old, named James Phipps, and also his own son, injected with a darning needle this cowpox to create smallpox. Well, both of these children later on died at the age of about 20, and they both died of tuberculosis, which has been linked to the smallpox vaccine.
Right.
So Jenner actually put this stuff in his own kid and probably killed him prematurely. So this is where this whole idea came from back in the 1700s. In fact, England had laws where you had to get this vaccine. And after Jenner died about 70 years later, they found out everybody was getting smallpox from these vaccines.
Huh.
In 1867, they 1898, they did away with the law of mandatory vaccines because of all the people, you know, getting smallpox. And they also got syphilis as a result of this particular vaccine.
Interesting. Well, you know, there's an old saying, you cannot unring a bell. And those of you listening to this show, you've just had your bell rung. This is informed consent. The bottom line is this. If you take nothing away from this interview, take this away. The research that is promoting the trivalent seasonal flu vaccine as a winner is a loser. You get it, and you have 5 times greater risk of getting sick than a person who didn't get it. That's it. And no one benefits from this message. It's not like I'm selling a product that now my product is going to become popular. And the authors didn't focus on this information either. Think about that. Listen, Dr. Thornton, thanks so much for being on the show today.
Thank you so much, Carl. As always, a pleasure.
Take care. All right, so stay tuned. When we come back, we're going to have Dr. Martha Herbert on. We're going to talk about the effects of RF and EMF and autism spectrum disorder. We'll be right back.
Carl Lenore.
The FDA has exceeded all of its previous levels of being sinister and corrupt by trying to poison this country by forcing us to eat genetically modified foods without knowing they're GMO foods, while trying to obstruct our access to natural foods that are grown right in our hometown.
Empowering the people and telling it like it is.
They're corrupt, they're sinister, they're disgusting. And we're never going to have a politician with any real chutzpah to stop the FDA. That's the sad part. So we have to stop them ourselves. The pressure has to push back. Keep supporting your family farm.
Only on Superhuman Radio.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing. My near vision has improved, and I can read small print from 8 inches. My overall vision is clearer, and the glare from oncoming headlights doesn't bother me any longer. Just 1 to 2 drops a day, and the results are visible. You can find CanSee eye drops at wisechoicemedicine.net or call 800-861-4936. That's 800-861-4936. wisechoicemedicine.net. CanSee eye drops. The name says it all.
Just like Carl Lenore, jumpstart your day with a liquid shot of high-dose vitamin C. Everyone is searching for that magic formula to look better and feel better. We don't claim to have a magic formula, but we do know that more than 1 million people take a shot of our high-dose vitamin C supplement every day. They're rewarding their body with an important nutrient and antioxidant that is sugar-free, gluten-free, and dairy-free. All of these benefits and no side effects. Unlike pills and powders, this high-tech bullet delivers vitamin C directly into your cells. Try Live-On Labs Vitamin C with a 100% money-back guarantee. Save $10 when you order now. Click the banner ad on superhumanradio.com or call 1-866-790-2107. That's 1-866-790-2107. And mention code SHRC to save $10 off each carton. Carl sees the benefits. So will you.
If you're taking more than one nutritional supplement, stop. Simplify your supplementation with Bio Superfood, the most advanced nutritional whole food you can buy. Even Olympic athletes have discovered Bio Superfood from BioAge.com. You take just one nutritional supplement to help the brain with focus, memory, clarity, and mood. Bio Superfood has zero toxicity. It is safe with no contraindications. Learn more at BioAge.com or call 877-288-9116. Mention Superhuman Radio and get a 10% discount. You can also go to SuperhumanRadio.com and click the Bio Age banner ad. Enter promo code SHR for a discount. Summer's almost here. Are you ready to put on your bathing suit and hit the beach? Age Force can help. Try the Age Force Fat Burner Patch for 1 month absolutely free. The advanced 7 Keto and T2 formula with sustained time-release delivery make this the most potent and effective fat loss supplement, period. Try it for 30 days absolutely free and see for yourself. Go to SuperhumanRadio.com and click the Age Force banner ad today. What do you have to lose other than body fat? Try the Age Force Fat Burner Patch today. Absolutely free. Go to SuperhumanRadio.com and click the banner ad now. Extreme Formulations is the only company with a dairy protein product with a disclosed 50% whey to 50% micellar casein ratio. It's Ultra Peptide 2.0. It comes in 9 amazing flavors, including the newest lemon pie and butterscotch. Get free shipping on any order size inside the USA. Go to SuperhumanRadio.com and click the Ultra Peptide 2.0 banner ad now. Canadian listeners can also get free shipping on 2 or more jugs of Ultra Peptide 2.0. Don't wait too long because this special won't last. Go to SuperhumanRadio.com and click the banner ad today.
This is the Superhuman Channel, where brawn and brains finally meet.
Welcome back. Okay, this is a topic that is really interesting and important. We first started talking about the effects of radio frequencies, for instance, and autism spectrum disorder many years ago when one study showed in rodents when fetuses were exposed to cellular telephone frequencies of, I think, 1 or 2 gigahertz, they did not develop mirror neurons in the brain, which has been associated with the onset of spectrum disorders. We're talking today with Dr. Martha Herbert, and she is a professor over at Harvard Medical School in the neurological department. You know what? I just lost my notes. I apologize. Dr. Herbert, I'm going to ask you to help me here stumble through this. You are professor at assistant professor. Thank you. Thank you. Somebody has handed it.
Yeah.
Neurology at the Harvard Medical School, also pediatric neurologist at Massachusetts General Hospital, and director of the Transcend Research Program, which stands for Treatment Research Neuroscience Evaluation of Neurodevelopment Disorders. Welcome to the show, first of all.
Thank you so much.
What made you start looking at electromagnetic fields and RF fields and spectrum disorder in general?
Well, about 10 years ago, a friend of mine who was editor of this literary journal, Wild Duck Review, was interested in this. And I thought it was kind of off the curve, you know, and over time it infiltrated my mind. And I began to, so what happened was I began to realize that, first of all, we had it all wrong about what we think autism is, in the sense that it's not a lifelong genetically caused broken brain, but it's something about the way the brain doesn't work the same as other people. And secondly, that the way EMF, electromagnetic fields, and radio frequency radiation affect the brain is very similar, and affect the whole body, it's very similar. So it kind of grew on me, and then I was asked to write something up, and I did a massive literature review, which is what just came out last week, published online by the journal the peer-reviewed journal, I should say, Pathophysiology.
Yeah, Autism and EMF, Plausibility of a Pathophysiological Link, Part 1, and it's your co-author was Cindy Sage.
Yeah, and Part 2 is up too, actually.
Oh, is it? Okay, I didn't get that. Okay, I'll get that
for sure.
So let's talk about this for a second. Most of us will not give up our wireless devices because they are convenient, but the reality is that we are being bathed. And keep in mind, I have a background in RF. I was in the mobile telephone and paging business way, way back before cellular. And I was involved in cellular too. People don't realize that we're being bathed in radio frequencies, a soup of it, daily, moment by moment. But I think a lot of people think that this is some innocuous thing that we shouldn't even be concerned about. But there are effects physiologically from RF, are they not?
No kidding. And actually, that's what my whole paper was about, was what it does to our cells and what it does to our cell membranes and what it does to the delicate molecular balances in our cells. And actually, it's really quite substantial. So the way the paper works is the first half of it, well, the first part says, look, we have it wrong about autism. It's really about function. The second part is this review about damage and how it can damage the cells and membranes. And then I go into how that can change the way brainwaves work. And then we tie it up, you know. But so basically, let's just go back to some years ago in Japan. They had a children's television show, and they had some kind of a multicolored explosion, and it was at seven, it flashed at seven pulses per second. And all over Japan, kids went to the emergency room because they were having seizures.
Yeah.
Because that particular frequency triggers seizures, and so since then it's been kind of outlawed to do that. But what you're in EMF, we can't see it, but it still hits our sensory apparatus.
Yes.
And it in our brains don't care whether our eyes can see it or our ears can hear it. They can still sense it. And it still screws up the signaling processes at all kinds of different levels. And that's the issue. I mean, the problem with us human beings is that we make decisions based on stuff that's right in front of our face.
Mm-hmm.
And this isn't right in front of your face because you can't see it, feel it, or hear it, but it's still there.
But you know what's interesting? A lot of good research has shown that things like cellular telephones can cause a hyper-excitability to neurons. There was one good study that looked at the causes of, if you're on your cell phone a half hour before you go to bed for 15 minutes, you don't go into the deepest stages of sleep for the first 3 hours because the brain has become excited. The neurons are actually busy dancing and having a great time. And so when we look at these types of studies, it makes perfect sense that there are children out there who maybe their antenna, for lack of better terms, are a little tweaked and a little more fragile, and they can actually manifest physiological changes as a result of something that many of us may seem innocuous and, oh, well, I just didn't sleep well last night.
You know, it's a very, you're exactly on point the way that I was thinking about it. Like, I was very careful not to get drawn into the argument like that, oh, look at how many cell phones we're using now and how much increase there's been, and look how many people there are more people with autism than before, so therefore cell phones must cause it. Well, I didn't say that. But what I did say was exactly what you're saying, that people with autism are more fragile physiologically in their cells, in their biochemistry. They're living close to the edge. And it's possible that cell phones and other electromagnetic radiation
routers,
sources,
routers, cordless
yeah,
phone, cordless
routers,
phone based
baby
stations,
monitors,
yeah, yeah,
could have contributed to them getting that way. But what I'm really concerned about is that it's contributing to keeping them that way and making it worse. And that there are things there are a lot of day-to-day choices that individuals can make. And also, here in the United States, we have, you know, the FCC is reevaluating its standards because they were set in 1996. Even the American Academy of Pediatrics has contributed a letter saying, look, in 1996, we didn't, you know, children were not walking around with cell phones up to their head half the day.
Right.
Now they are. A lot of kids, adolescents, and young adults have that as their sole message. Kids are texting, carrying them in their pockets, in their breast pockets, in their side pockets, and there have been brain studies showing that children are more vulnerable to this than adults. And that's just any old child. If you then take a child who's already having brain problems,
right,
that's where the autism thing comes in. And not only autism, but I focused on autism because that's the area where I've put in the most work. I mean, as you know, I wrote a book about it. I've done that. I'm a brain researcher. That's what I study.
Right. The book is called The Autism Revolution. And the best place to go get it is actually autismrevolution.org. And you can actually get a free chapter to take a look at. This is really a great book. And you know, it takes a certain amount of courage to do the research you're doing, I have to say. Because, because you know why? The average person thinks, oh, this is smoke and mirrors. This is no big deal. You know, if I didn't come up through the RF industry, I would probably think, oh, come on. I mean, I'm one of those people who unplugs my router and the base station of my cordless phone at night before I go to sleep. And I don't wear an aluminum hat, by the way. And I don't think the government is listening to my thoughts. But one time we were putting up a transmitter on the Holiday Inn Center Strip in Las Vegas. It was a 500-watt transmitter, and Jack Crowley, who is now deceased, was the lead technician, and he said, you want to see something cool? And I said, what? And he went downstairs into the equipment room, and he unscrewed one of the fluorescent light bulbs from the ceiling, and he came back up on the roof where I was. We had just mounted this folded dipole antenna that was a 10 dB gain, so it took 500, made it look like 5,000. He said, watch this. He held the fluorescent tube parallel to the folded dipole antenna and moved it closer to the antenna. And when he got about a foot away, it lit up, had no wires. Oh, and I said, what the heck? He goes, yeah. He goes, it's exciting the atoms inside the fluorescent tube. And they're energized. So they're lighting up. He goes, watch this. So he moved it, and every increment that was equal to a quarter wavelength of that frequency, which I remember was 467.250, every increment that was a quarter wavelength, it lit up again. And then he would move it out and it would die. And then he would get that quarter wavelength and it lit up again. And that is when it dawned on me. Wow, this stuff, we can't see it, but it can act on you. If it can light that fluorescent light up, at one point in time, we were 6 feet away from it. It was still lighting it up. It was dim, but it was still lighting it up. And here we are standing up there and tuning these antennas up. God knows. Now, one other thing I want to mention before we go into the break. When long-distance services first came up, MCI was putting these microwave links up all over the country, and one of our sites, we leased some space to them. So they put this beautiful big parabolic antenna up, and every time we would go up there, there would be dead birds all around the antenna. And Jack goes, oh, we got to put a cover on that thing. The birds are, I says, what do you mean? He goes, well, when the birds sit on that stem that's holding the transmitter, pointing it into the parabolic antenna, when they get right into the focal point, it fries them. Because they were using 2 gigahertz back then. That's like a microwave oven. So for those out there who think that, oh, my router is this innocuous thing that brings me pleasure, think again. We are bathed in this RF today. And this is an experiment, and we're the guinea pigs.
It's not an experiment because we're not tracking it. It's just playing around. I mean, you know, my friend Peter Sullivan, who really is the one who got me into this particular article, I went over to his place, and he has all these instruments where you can turn the electrical signal into sound so you can hear it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like the experience you had. He put it next to a baby monitor, and people put those things next to their babies' heads. And it's an incredibly aversive, static, repeated pulsing thing that's actually going into your baby's brain. It's just that because it normally you don't hear it or see it or feel it, you don't realize it. So that's the experience you had with the light bulb,
right,
of having it transformed into a form where you could tell.
Tangible, something tangible that you could hear, that you could see, absolutely.
Right.
But the brain senses it. I want to talk about that when we come back. We're talking right now with Dr. Martha Herbert. She has a great book out there called The Autism Revolution. It's available at autismrevolution.org. Stay tuned. We'll be right back with more.
Throw away those muscle-building rag mags and listen to real health information you can trust.
So right now what's trending is like resistance exercise, CrossFit. So he's like, well, I'm going to write an article that will make all of those people go, what? There are people out there who are trying to convince themselves that heavy resistance training is not good for you. They want to be substantiated by why they don't go into the gym and do any kind of work. In order for you to get rhabdomyolysis, you have to be an extremely well-trained athlete who pushes your body beyond the point of no return.
And even then, you may not get rhabdo.
Only on Superhuman Radio with Carl Lenore.
They couldn't get rhabdo if I said, get rhabdo and I'll give you $1 million.
Eat dessert again with the new 100% natural line of high-protein, low-carb Quest protein bars. I love lemon cream pie and strawberry cheesecake, but you can choose from chocolate peanut butter, coconut cashew, or cinnamon roll as well. No matter which one you try, you'll feel like you're eating dessert. But this is no ordinary dessert. With 20 grams of high-quality whey protein isolate, 17 grams of prebiotic fiber, and sweetened with stevia, these bars will make you feel like you're cheating, but you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Quest Protein Bar banner ad to learn more about these clean and delicious protein bars.
If you want to outlast, outmuscle, and outperform your competition with a high-powered, stimulant-free carbohydrate source that has zero sugars, you want Carbolin. Carbolin is the original high-performance fuel that will allow you to load your muscles with glycogen in minutes instead of hours. As a pre, intra, and post-training supplement, it will give you a hardness and fullness to your muscles like you've never felt before. As an endurance supplement, Carbolin has been proven to increase VO2 max by 2.8%. If you want fast absorption and sustained energy without bloating or cramping, get Carbolin. Go to AAEFX.com today.
Thousands of Superhuman Radio listeners already know how well GLC 2000 works at repairing joints and cartilage, and it's the best price on the market, milligram for milligram. Now GLC Direct is offering a special that my listeners can take advantage of. Buy one, get one free of any GLC 2000 product. That's right. Buy one of your favorite GLC 2000 products and get one free. Capsules or raw powder. Just mention Superhuman Radio and buy one, get one free today. Call 866-452-3473 or click the GLC banner ad on superhumanradio.com. Offer limited to one per household.
You already know that Whey Natural USA is the best whey protein powder from Amish grass pasture fed cows right here in the United States. Well, it's their second anniversary bonanza sale. Now you can get any number of 5-pound jugs of vanilla, chocolate, strawberry, or plain and save 20% when you use the coupon code ANNIV20. There's never anything artificial in Whey Natural USA. Sweetened with stevia and real cocoa, strawberry, or vanilla bean. It's the best, period. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Whey Natural USA banner ad today.
At Superior Hardcore Peptides, we pride ourselves on accurately dosed, high-quality peptides and research chemicals made in the USA. With all the options out there, we dedicated ourselves to providing the best service and the best products for your research. Click the banner ad on superhumanradio.com today and use the discount code SHR and get 20% off our already competitive prices. If you're going to do research, do it with the best Superior Hardcore Peptides.
Are you still putting toxic toothpastes in your mouth? Still brushing with sodium lauryl sulfate, which is related to canker sores and gum recession? You've heard a lot of people in the Superhuman Nation talk about how much they love Aura MD. Carl and Elisa won't brush with anything else. Now get a free bottle of Aura MD and see what all the excitement's about. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Aura MD banner ad today. You cover shipping and we'll give you a free bottle for first-time customers only. What are you waiting for? The best toothpaste alternative is just a click away.
Build muscle, burn fat. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. We're talking with Dr. Martha Herbert. She is the author of the book, The Autism Revolution. Okay, so I've had some thoughts. This is really how my brain works, by the way, and chances are I've been exposed to too many things myself. But anyway, okay, so there's a doctor in Colorado, Washington State, I apologize if I don't remember which state it is, named Dr. Shauna Young, who has been working with children on the spectrum and focusing on, I want to say manganese or some sort of a metal, getting it out of their diet, right? And she's having success with them, right? Now, I happen to sleep with a electromagnetic field device beneath my bed that pulses at 9.6 hertz, which is equivalent to the Schaumann wave, which emanates from the earth. And one would think that we've evolved under exposure to that, so that's a good thing. And some people say, stay with me. I don't have ADHD, I promise you. That's why when you sleep out in the woods, you know, you're off the grid and you're being exposed to this, and that's where the whole earthing phenomenon is coming from, blah, blah, blah. So I use one of these units, and I've been using it for years, and it really does help me sleep well, and it makes me feel refreshed. There are some people who can't sleep with it. It agitates them. And so I had a discussion with the guy who designed it, Paul Becker, and I said, what if these people have a higher level of attenuation, if you will. Let's say they carry more metals in their body that makes them more susceptible to EMF and RF, so they feel it to a greater degree. And then when you look at some of the research coming out on autism spectrum disorder and the things that make children more susceptible, a mother who has very high testosterone levels has been now implicated. And we know that testosterone causes men to store more iron in our cells, and that has been linked to some of the cellular aging theories on why men don't fare as well as women, blah, blah, blah. But coming full circle, what if the acute effects of RF and EMF are because these little kids are really like antennas? They have a higher degree of some metallic substances in their brain and their body that makes them, you know, feel this stuff more.
Well, you know, actually, everything about us is like an antenna. Every strand of your DNA serves as a kind of what they call fractal antenna. But it's really with the question of the properties of the antenna, and those properties are influenced by the nutrients you have on board, the nutrients you don't have on board, and the toxins and the heavy metals that you do have on board, and all of those change the resonance properties of the antenna, the things that it's going to resonate with. And so what we're in a situation where we figured out all of this Wi-Fi technology without really thinking about the good frequencies and the not-so-good frequencies and the bad frequencies. And then we also have been piling up our world with all kinds of toxicity and trash that gets into our bodies, gets in worse if you're poorly nourished or if you have certain genetic problems. And all of this stuff is interacting. So, you know, if your cells have a toxic burden, if the membranes have already been damaged by toxicity and by poor nutrition and by EMF, you're going to get hit harder. So, yeah, it's I think it's a resonance problem. And Lord help us in terms of, you know, the way in which you get medical assessment, if when you go to a regular doctor, it doesn't come close to really looking at the way this kind of thing could contribute if you're not feeling well.
Yeah, because I don't even think this isn't, no pun intended, this isn't even on the spectrum of doctors' opinions. They're not thinking about RF at all, in my opinion. You know,
well, they're going to have to. I mean, I'm very happy to see the AAP, the American Academy of Pediatrics, wrote a conservative letter, but at least they wrote a letter saying, look, you know, we have a problem here with children and pregnant women that we really need to think about it. Some of the things they didn't say are that the regulations have been based on the thermal characteristics of EMF. Does it heat the tissue?
Right.
And
the
if
oxidation.
It heats the tissue, they say it's bad. But actually, it can cause problems way below the level at which it heats the tissue. And at this point, that's extremely well established by good peer-reviewed scientific studies. But that has not made its way into the way we regulate it.
You know, The problem with good frequencies and bad frequencies is there's a phenomenon called harmonics. There's constructive and destructive interference. You can have two frequencies that are oscillating next to each other, which will give rise to a third frequency because of their ability to harmonize. And so, unfortunately, when it comes to RF, it would be virtually impossible to be selective. Because the device that you were talking about before that your friend has that you listened to, it was most likely called a spectrum analyzer, which allows you to actually take a snapshot of the entire spectrum of where you are. All these little pips will show up on different frequencies. And quite often what you'll see is when two transmitters key up at the same time, you'll see each of their pips, but then you'll see this third one that's a phantom pip, and you go, where's that coming from? And when you see one key down, it disappears, but when they both come up at the same time, it appears again, and you realize, oh, my God, these two frequencies, one may be 267, one may be 483, come together, and they yield this third frequency because they harmonize.
And yeah, you know, we're actually studying this in the brains of autistic children, but I really, it's not my data, so I can't talk about it, but we accidentally found some really peculiar things, and we haven't tied it into EMF yet at all, but it's a really, it's something you can measure in the brain.
Yes. And what about getting these children off the grid? Has that been tried yet? Let's just take these kids and get them off the grid for a month. Get them out in the wilderness. Do they act different without changing anything else about them? Do we know that?
Well, I know Tarl Jelter, who's a doctor in the Silicon Valley area in California, has been doing, you know, removing EMF exposures, and people there have been working on EMF-free classrooms. And that's been helping. And I want to get some of her case studies up online and some other people's case studies. But I don't know about the wilderness, but I think it's an excellent thing that's worth trying. You know, I'm working in a separate context on a in a farm-based residential facility where the kids come in and they're a mess and they're attacking their parents and they're really difficult. And they go on organic food, and just from that alone,
yeah, I know,
they're doing a lot better. So if we took the EMF out of there, and it's the country, you know, I bet we would get even better results, because otherwise, in a way, the EMF is kind of, you know, you take the organic food, and that's taking your foot off, you know, you're basically contradicting. So you want to get it all lined up so that you're removing all of the
assaults, all the insults at one time.
Yeah.
You know, it's funny, about 5 years ago, I predicted there would be a cottage industry where they would come into your home and they would paint your home, inside your home. The primer would be a carbon-based primer, so ceiling and walls, all paint. And then they would put some sort of a carbon fiber beneath your carpeting or your wood floor and just take the bedroom and ground it then and take the bedroom and make it a safe place where there's zero RF. I dreamed about this. I thought, you know, it's going to happen. It's just a matter of time.
Because I've been in that. I've been in those. I've been in my friend Peter. He has an EMF-free study and an EMF-free bedroom. I actually was the first person to sleep in the EMF-free bedroom.
And did you feel any? Did you notice any difference?
I think the bedroom wasn't quite ready for prime time, but when you walk into that study, it feels so peaceful.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, I dream of this. I you know what? I want to do this to my own home, because I know firsthand what RF can do. And I'm convinced that we're being really, really cavalier about what's going on. Okay, so now we've addressed some of the acute effects of RF. But what about the oxidative stress? We do know that RF causes oxidative stress. It's not as telling as, say, ionizing radiation, but it still has to have an effect. What about the studies that show the fetuses of rats who were exposed to even cell phones in standby mode, their brain changes, the development of the brain changes in utero.
Right. You know, oxidative stress, and I would like to add while we're at it, genotoxicity. Like the guys who keep their cell phones in their pockets.
Oh, I get that frustration.
Lower sperm counts, and it's mutagenic. It creates mutations, and a lot of these autistic, not a lot, but at least some of the autistic kids have mutations their parents don't have, and I wonder where at least some of it might be coming from that. But oxidative stress, yeah. And the problem is that a large proportion of kids with autism are loaded with oxidative stress for all kinds of reasons. And to add yet another reason to create or maintain oxidative stress is not wise. Like, I and a lot of my colleagues are worried, because oxidative stress underlies all of the severe chronic diseases that we face in adulthood, ranging from obesity to diabetes to cancer to Alzheimer's to Parkinson's. What are we heading for in this population of children who, you know, this larger population of children who are diagnosed with autism, but they're still pretty young? What are they going to be coming down with?
And, yeah. And how, are we going to care with them, given the financial challenges of this country today and the load of health care? And then we're going to have a large population that needs to be cared for. It is scary. And you know what? And I don't understand. Well, it's another show entirely. I don't even want to go up that road right now. But the reality is that oxidative stress is caused by RF. It's been shown. Good studies come out of Scandinavia all the time. Men who wear their cell phones on their back belt, depending on the left side or the right side, we see changes in the kidney on the left side or the right side. We don't need to be, you don't have to convince
no.
me.
No. And what's another thing that's really interesting, I don't want to give people the wrong idea, but there are a lot of animal studies where antioxidants, particularly melatonin, make the effects less severe.
Yes.
So the reason I hesitate to say that is mainly because I don't want people to say, oh, yeah, I could still wear my cell phone and I'll just take these pills. But it's because it's why stress yourself like that? But it is clear that there's an oxidative stress and immune disruptive component to the impact of EMF.
Well, Dr. Herbert, but take this in consideration. We have a population that does not value sleep any longer. And so,
right.
So forget about taking a supplement of melatonin. How about just protecting the melatonin your body produces naturally? And when you don't do that, and then you're exposed to all this RF, it could increase your risk of these types of problems.
You know, Starbucks is going to be very mad. I think we drink so much coffee just to make up for the fact that we don't think about these.
Yeah, yeah. No,
it's not good for you. It drains your adrenals and so forth and so on, and liver. And
I want to take a quick commercial break. I've got more questions for you. We're talking with Dr. Martha Herbert. We're talking about the effects of RF on autism and autism spectrum disorder. A great book for those of you out there who are interested in more information about this or have a relative, a loved one that has a child on the spectrum. The Autism Revolution, Whole Body Strategies for Making Life All It Can Be. I like this book because it's a practical book to help parents deal with their children, not point at why their children are like that. It gives solutions instead of just more questions. Go to autismrevolution.org. We'll be right back.
Not only does he poke holes in corporate lies, he tears them a new one.
All of the associated companies that say that the GMO labeling is unfair to them cite that it would cost too much money to change the label on the box. But meanwhile, they spend millions and millions fighting labeling. Why don't they just use that money to label the boxes?
His name is Carl Lenore.
And keep in mind, Madeira, the province of Portugal, Switzerland, India, and Thailand have all banned, B-A-N-N-E-D, the sale and growth of genetically modified foods in their countries because they prefer to wait for more research to come out before they subject their citizens to it.
On Superhuman Radio.
Everybody deserves to know what they're eating. This is nonsense.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing. My near vision has improved, and I can read small print from 8 inches. My overall vision is clearer, and the glare from oncoming headlights doesn't bother me any longer. Just 1 to 2 drops a day, and the results are visible. You can find CanSee eye drops at wisechoicemedicine.net or call 800-861-4936. That's 800-861-4936. WiseChoiceMedicine.net. CanSee Eye Drops. The name says it all.
A special offer from Rob Regish for Blueprint Power Hour listeners. Purchase 1 year of the Blueprint Bulletin and get the Blueprint 3.0 ebook for free. The first 100 subscribers will receive the Superhuman University Add 1 Inch to Your Upper Arms course and another surprise bonus when you order. Go to theblueprintbulletin.com today or click the Blueprint banner ad on superhumanradio.com. And get on the road to Gainesville in the fast lane.
Just like Carl Lenore, jumpstart your day with a liquid shot of high-dose vitamin C. Everyone is searching for that magic formula to look better and feel better. We don't claim to have a magic formula, but we do know that more than 1 million people take a shot of our high-dose vitamin C supplement every day. They're rewarding their body with an important nutrient and antioxidant that is sugar-free, gluten-free, and dairy-free. All of these benefits and no side effects. Unlike pills and powders, this high-tech bullet delivers vitamin C directly into your cells. Try Live On Labs Vitamin C with a 100% money-back guarantee. Save $10 when you order now. Click the banner ad on superhumanradio.com or call 1-866-790-2107. That's 1-866-790-2107. And mention code SHRC to save $10 off each carton. Carl sees the benefits. So will you.
Orbit Nutrition carries over 1,000 of the hottest nutritional supplements, performance enhancers, and nutraceuticals on the planet. And now, Superhuman Radio listeners get an additional 5% off their everyday low prices by using the coupon code SHR5. That's SHR and the number 5. Choose from products like Quest Protein Bars, iForce Nutrition, Iron Mag Labs, and more. Check out Orbit's daily deals for special insane blowout prices. Log on to the Orbit Nutrition Forum and get feedback feedback about the products you're shopping for and get an additional 5% off using the coupon code SHR5. Orbit Nutrition. Fast, reliable, competitive, international. Why shop anywhere else?
You already know that Whey Natural USA is the best whey protein powder from Amish grass pasture fed cows right here in the United States. Well, it's their second anniversary bonanza sale. Now you can get any number of 5-pound jugs of vanilla, chocolate, strawberry, or plain and save 20% when you use the coupon code ANNIV20. There's never anything artificial in Whey Natural USA. Sweetened with stevia and real cocoa, strawberry, or vanilla bean. It's the best, period. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Whey Natural USA banner ad today.
Jumping higher, lifting more. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back. We're talking with Dr. Martha Herbert. We're talking about RF and EMF and their effects on autism. What about, back in the day, what we used to talk about when it came to children's health was 60-cycle electromagnetic fields, like from high-tension wires and stuff like that. Is there any evidence that those also are problematic with children on the spectrum?
No, I haven't personally done as much work on that, but there's a book called Dirty Electricity by Milham, M-I-L-H-A-M, who's an epidemiologist, and he systematically marches you through the increase in disease rates all the way back since electrification. I mean, you know, it's difficult for us. We take all these things for granted as core pieces of our progress. There may be ways of having a lot of the convenient things associated with electricity and Wi-Fi if we rethink it, but boy, it's going to be a lot of work.
Yeah.
But so that's the best that I can say, because I mean, I got into this from a background in toxicants, and I'm newer to the EMF part, and I've mainly focused on the EMF and not the electricity, but Milham's book is a very good introduction to issues related to electrification even before we had Wi-Fi.
Interesting. Very, very interesting. You know, there's something else I was thinking about earlier. So cancer researchers a couple years ago started working with a component found in soy called genistein, I think I'm pronouncing that right, by pretreating a tumor and then exposing it to ionizing radiation. They had better success in destroying the tumor because the genistein apparently disables the DNA from repairing itself so that
right.
The pre-treated tumor cannot be robust and rebuild. And so that made me start thinking, and I actually posed this question to a guest a couple years ago when I first heard about this. Well, maybe it was a year and a half ago. And I said, they're pre-treating a tumor. Many people out there consume soy products in abundance. Could the combination of soy consumption and the exposure to RF and EMF in general, not necessarily kill the cells, but mutate them or cause the DNA to change in a way that it can't reconstruct itself because we've disabled the toolkit, so to speak. And I've always wondered about that.
Well, DNA repair is a really big issue. Another thing that's very common that reduces DNA repair is vitamin D deficiency.
Yeah.
Because vitamin D is very important to DNA repair, and a large number of people are really low on vitamin D. So, you know, that the thing I talk about in my book is, look, you know, the more nutrients, high nutrient density that you have in your food, the more your body will have the tools to do what it needs to do, including repair its DNA. The more toxins you have, the harder you make, the more insults you have. So you want to reduce the toxins and increase the quality of the food. And I didn't say much about EMF in my book because I wrote it 2 years ago, and I was just basically said stay tuned because I had a sense it was going to come really right to the middle of my radar screen. But it's really a balance. We are never going to be living in a clean world again in our lifetimes. We can do what we can to make it get less worse and more better. But in the meantime, you just don't want to make it more likely that you're going to have DNA damage that you can't repair. We're all going to have DNA damage. You can't walk down the street without getting DNA damage, but mostly it's fixed. But less so if your body doesn't have what it needs to do the repairing, and more so when you assault it.
So in your experience, are there things, and it's probably different for everyone, and that's really the challenging part, but are there things that parents can do in their home right now, do you think, in the area of RF without going out and having a company come in and lay down carbon fiber that they can do that maybe they can test and see if it helps?
Well, in your rooms and your child's rooms, unplug the devices before bedtime. Another thing you can do is get a, you know, either you can do two things. You can get a kill switch to kill the power except for your fridge and freezer. Or you can just go down and flip the, you know, the breaker if you live in a house. So, and I've done that a lot, and I'm telling you, I sleep better when I do that. These mobile phone, base stations in the house, they are very big generators of EMF.
Yeah, more they put out more. They put out more power than your cell phone, and they put out that 2.4 gig frequency that has been implicated with neuronal activity.
So, I mean, just if you can live without that thing, then just live without it. I actually got rid of my Wi-Fi, and I just do broadband in my house.
Right.
I have a, if I need the web somewhere else in the house, I have, you know, Verizon on my iPad. But, you know, there's, you know, don't put the baby monitor next to your baby's head.
Right.
Don't, you know. Unplugging, and not just turning it off, but unplugging it is a good thing.
Right.
And it also makes you conscious. A lot of this is basically being unconscious, and if you have to go around and unplug, you see how much stuff you have. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
That's generating activity. You know, don't leave your computer on all night. Turn it off.
Don't use your cell phone as your alarm clock, and if you're going to, then switch it to the airplane mode.
Right, exactly. And then, you know, so you can still get the alarm to go off without getting signal, although honestly some of the phones still serve as antenna even when you have it in airplane mode.
Mm.
Like, I think the iPhone is like that.
Yeah.
But at least it's not as much, possibly. So, yeah, that just go around and look at all these things, and, you know, that's what you can do. I understand. I mean, I've thought about painting my house with graphite and everything, but I'm probably going to sell it, and it's not going to happen. So if I ever get a new place, I love these tiny house things, that the tiny house blog. I mean, I would most certainly put it in a new thing that I got.
Right.
So, yeah, just turn off the electricity, unplug things, and get a good night's sleep. A lot of people in Europe have kill switches for their whole house except for the fridge.
Well, you know what? You save a lot of energy, too, because you don't realize how much dissipates just keeping juice in the wires, even though you're not tapping.
I just got back from Barcelona the other day, and, you know, you go into the hotel room. There's no electricity until you put your room key into a little slot.
Oh.
They're saving. The escalators go off if nobody's on them, and they have a little thing that when you step on it as you're getting on, it turns it on again. They're saving a lot of electricity that we haven't really gotten into yet. And that's stuff that you can start to learn how to do in your house. And you don't need special gizmos for a lot of it. You just need to go pull the plug.
I like that.
And then another thing that's really important is dirty electricity on your electricity lines. There are these companies, Stetzer and Greenwave, that have filters that reduce the static on your electric lines that can be generated either from old wiring or from having a lot of equipment on the system that increases the static that your body is exposed to. This is not Wi-Fi. It's a different phenomenon. But when you have filters on the electricity in each room, you can reduce the amount of exposure that you have to the dirty electricity.
Not only that, but the wear and tear on your electronic products goes down completely. You don't have problems with things failing for no reason at all.
And you can get these meters for not that much money to measure how much static, the dirty electricity static you have from your regular AC electrical system. And I would recommend looking into that from Stetzer or Greenwave and doing something about it. It's a one-time investment. It's not that much money. And then it reduces yet another source of electrical stress.
What about when the mom is pregnant? When we started the show, I mentioned a study that I read a long time ago that showed that rats that were exposed to RF from cell phones in the standby mode while pregnant, the babies were born without mirror neurons, and mirror neurons are what's responsible for you looking at your mom. She's smiling at you, and you curl your lips. You know that this that you're doing with your face is what she's doing. And they say that that is one of the things that some children that are on the spectrum don't have. What about in utero exposure to RF? Can that be setting
them up? Mom should not use a laptop plugged in on their lap. It's right next to the baby. You know, there's precautions that you need to take. It's better to use it on battery mode and not on your lap. All the other things about turning off the appliances, unplugging them, and switching off the switch while you sleep apply even more to a pregnant mom, as well as keeping the nutrients up and the antioxidants and the good quality essential fatty acids in the diet, and not running yourself into the ground while you're pregnant, because that reduces your resiliency and makes you more vulnerable. More and more people are getting into trying to do the best they can before they even conceive, like the Better Baby book from David Asprey and things like that. So, yeah, and those are, and then dad should, for God's sake, not carry his cell phone in his pocket, because it increases the likelihood of transmitting new mutations to the baby.
Right. Yeah, that's a big one. I remember one time I was in Kroger's, this was a few years ago, and I saw this young girl, and she was ready to bust. I mean, she was real pregnant, and she was on her cell phone, and she's talking, and she's chatting. I had just done a show about the effects of RF. I think we did the show on the mirror neuron thing. And I remember saying to her, you know, you really shouldn't be on your cell phone while you're pregnant. I said, it's dangerous for your baby. And then I walked on, and I heard her say, you know what this jerk just said to me?
Yeah,
I'll never forget that. And I thought to myself, okay, have it your way.
you know, and then in 2 years when she starts seeing problems in her kid, it's going to, like, float through her mind.
But she won't believe it. She won't. Let's do this. Let's take our last commercial break, and then we'll wrap up the interview. We're talking with Dr. Martha Herbert. We're talking about autism and RF and EMF, obviously something that you can experiment with in your own home with your child, if you have a child that's on the spectrum, to see if you can get another 10, 15, 20% of good life living style for your child and your family. The website is autismrevolution.org. You can go there and get the book. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
There's something comforting about knowing he's out there.
Government is in place because it assumes that people are too stupid to care for themselves.
By your side.
Government has to take up the parental role of teaching people what to do.
Fighting the good fight.
Government has to get out of people's pantries, first of all. They can't legislate health.
He's Carl Lenore on Super Human Radio.
If you're taking more than one nutritional supplement, stop. Simplify your supplementation with Bio Superfood, the most advanced nutritional whole food you can buy. Even Olympic athletes have discovered Bio Superfood from BioAge.com. You take just one nutritional supplement to help the brain with focus, memory, clarity, and mood. Bio Superfood has zero toxicity. It is safe with no contraindications. Learn more at BioAge.com or call 877-288-9116. Mention Superhuman Radio and get a 10% discount. You can also go to SuperhumanRadio.com and click the Bio Age banner ad. Enter promo code SHR for a discount. Get a free jug of BCAA Extended Performance. That's a $26 freebie when you buy Muscle Gauge Nutrition's Intense, the safest, most effective pre-workout alternative to DMAA. Intense is designed to quickly boost focused energy in a great-tasting formula free of aspartame or ACE-K. Only half the caffeine of top-selling concentrated pre-workout formulas on the market. Intense delivers unparalleled mental focus and energy to power your workouts. Go to Superhuman Radio and click the Intense banner ad and use coupon code SUPER. That's S-U-P-E-R. Summer's almost here. Are you ready to put on your bathing suit and hit the beach? Age Force can help. Try the Age Force Fat Burner Patch for 1 month absolutely free. The advanced 7 keto and T2 formula with sustained time release delivery make this the most potent and effective fat loss supplement, period. Try it for 30 days absolutely free and see for yourself. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Age Force banner ad today. What do you have to lose other than body fat? Try the Age Force Fat Burner Patch today. Absolutely
absolutely free. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the banner ad now.
I usually avoid protein bars because they're generally just candy in disguise. But that's all changed now. With Quest protein bars, we can enjoy dessert again without the guilt. With 20 grams of whey isolate protein, tons of prebiotic fiber, no sugar added, and only 2 to 6 grams of active carbohydrates per bar, Quest bars will keep you full and lean. I've never endorsed a protein bar before because I simply didn't trust them. That's all changed with the Quest bar. Not just because of what's in them, but more so for what's not. Go to superhumanradio.com today and click the Quest protein bar banner ad. Start enjoying dessert again.
You already know that Whey Natural USA is the best whey protein powder from Amish grass pasture fed cows right here in the United States. Well, it's their second anniversary bonanza sale. Now you can get any number of 5-pound jugs of vanilla, chocolate, strawberry, or plain and save 20% when you use the coupon code ANNIV20. There's never anything artificial in Whey Natural USA. Sweetened with stevia and real cocoa, strawberry, or vanilla bean. It's the best, period. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Whey Natural USA banner ad today.
Never before has an anti-estrogen been so powerful. The triazole formula is built on a potent all-natural aromatase inhibitor called pizole, which has been shown in clinical trial to be as effective as a leading prescription aromatase inhibitor. Pizole works in concert with the rest of the triazole formula to control estrogen while simultaneously boosting testosterone significantly. In fact, one of triazole's testers had a 120% increase in total testosterone and a 257% increase in free testosterone. Triazole is available at bodybuilding.com, NutriPlanet.com, or where finer supplements are sold. For more information, check out GetDS.com.
Your radio just got ripped. It's Superhuman Radio.
Either you're with those who love freedom, or you're with those who hate innocent life.
Welcome back. We're talking with Dr. Martha Herbert. We're talking about her book as well as a recent study, The Autism Revolution, Whole Body Strategies for Making Life All It Can Be. I like this book a lot because it's designed to help parents with their child, as opposed to just pointing out why their child may be like that. Now, obviously, knowing why their child is like that helps you deal with them, but it's a book that gives answers instead of just more questions. I really like that, Dr. Herbert.
And one of the key things is that I'm saying in there that not only can you do stuff, but it's because it's really about the brain having problems with its brain waves. That's where EMF comes in, and there's a whole lot of things you can do to make the brain waves better.
Yeah, absolutely. You know what I had a thought when you were talking before? All the rage now is LED television sets. And what people need to understand about LED, the way you adjust the intensity or brightness of an LED is not by turning down the power, but by oscillating it differently. And so a dim LED oscillates at a much slower rate than a bright LED. So you could think of these as frequencies. Now you sit a child who has some issues, let's say, in front of a television set that the LED complex on that TV set is oscillating 1,000 different frequencies at one time into their eyes, and they become entrained, and they could also become affected by that. Have you given any thought to that? Because that's a new phenomenon, these LED TVs.
You know, the impact on the brainwaves from this oscillation is such an important issue because, like I just
the Japanese
jumped in and said, yeah, that's where these problems, in my view, that's like ground zero. It isn't because your brain wiring got laid down wrong when you were a baby. When you look at the brain scans of these people, most of them look pretty actually okay. It's not at that level. It's much more subtle than that. It's the way the cells work. And this is going to jam circuits up one side and down the other. I think families need to keep track of whether their kids have more meltdowns or more problems concentrating or whatever, in association with these exposures. And you also don't even know exactly when it's going to hit because the confusional impact, you know, it could take a while to sink in. Mm-hmm. I think we really don't know very much about it. I think I've gotten funded to do some research on the impact of these sorts of technologies on brainwaves because I do brainwave research.
That's exciting. It's exciting. But at the same time, I have this sad feeling because I think to myself, we are so selfish. People are not going to be willing to part with their technologies. And quite frankly, it's going to be It's like a stubborn child, you know, who's threatening to hold their breath if they don't get their way. You know, it's like, it's sad to me because I'm thinking to myself, who's going to be willing to do away with their technology?
I think the reason is that it works better when you give somebody something else that works better.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people have a harder time giving up than they have to moving on to something else.
Yeah, diversion.
And, you know, the advertising industry is great at getting on to moving on to something else because they have to keep on having us do that in order to keep on making money.
Right.
So if we could take the attitude that there could be better ways of meeting these needs. But until we do that, we have a big problem in our whole civilization right now with error correction because we've gotten ourselves set up with a whole bunch of technologies where we had no idea the risks we were taking, and now we're starting to figure it out. But we have this, the transition issue. How do you go to let it go and go on to something else or reevaluate the whole way you're organizing your life? Some of us are early adopters, and we see the writing on the wall, and we change.
Yeah.
We have to show how good it is to other people and how easy it is, you know, and how much it's worth it and how much you can get more out of life when you do that. That's what I think we need to do. I think we need to figure out a way of making it a positive message, not just to give up, but how much you gain by doing things in this other way. That's what makes it palatable to people.
Giving them
ways to do it because, you know, in my clinical practice, there was a really big difference in the people who knew how to cook and who didn't know how to cook in terms of if I say you have to change your diet.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the same thing here. We have to give people, you know, baby steps for helping them to make these transitions. And then once they get excited about it and they see the change, they'll be more motivated.
What do you hope clinicians and colleagues take away from your recent research? Is it just for them to start the discussion that, hey, maybe RF and EMF are playing a role?
Well, that's the biggest thing is, look, we really have to think about this. There's been this, you know, I was one of the first people to talk about autism and environmental toxicants in a major way. I wrote a paper called Time to Get a Grip in 2006. But it's really bigger than chemicals. And the other part of it is that it's really a functional thing in that there's more and more evidence that we can actually make these things better. People with autism are not broken. They have a major functional problem, but there's a lot we can do about it. That's why I talked about making life all it can be in my book title. And, if EMF can scramble your brain signals in any way and you then can unscramble them and you see improvement, that's an extremely hopeful message, actually.
Yes. Yes, it really is. It really is. I want to thank you so much for taking time to come on the show today.
It's a real pleasure, and I'm very grateful for your invitation, and I hope that we've impacted some people.
Yes, absolutely. And obviously, for those of you who are in search of answers, the website is autismrevolution.org, and the book is The Autism Revolution. Grab it today. Thank you so much, Dr. Herbert.
Thank you, Carl.
Okay. And we also want to thank Dr. William Thornton for coming on and talking about that research on the most recent damning study. It was designed to be a positive study for the seasonal vaccine, a flu vaccine, but in fact, when you really dig down and look at all the numbers, you realize that it's damning, that the seasonal vaccine causes 5 times greater illness than it does protect against the seasonal flu. So check that out. Thanks a lot to Dr. Thornton for coming on, and thank you for listening today, and we'll see you tomorrow.
Move over, superheroes. This is the Superhuman Channel.
This is one of those things I think it's going to be 30 years from now, and people are going to